Attention women's wrestling fans and wrestling collectors. Ring Post Journal's 2021 Women's Wrestling Year in Review is now available worldwide on Amazon. This year's book includes an industry news timeline, event results from all around the globe, the top 10 stories of the year, win-loss records, and comprehensive statistic-based wrestler rankings for WWE, AEW, Impact Wrestling, Wrestling, NWA, and Ring of Honor. All of this plus a one-on-one interview with Maria Canales Bennett as she explains the process behind rebuilding Ring of Honor's women's division. A portion of the proceeds will also be donated to a mental health organization in honor of the late Daphne. Happy reading, and author Colby Applegate thanks you for your continued support. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 235 of a Wrestling Gal podcast, providing you with the female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J, as today I am joined by the Ace of Eve, Charlie Morgan. Now let's chat. Hello, everybody. Today I am joined by the Ace of Eve, Charlie Morgan. So how are you doing today?
Hi. Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, I am so excited. And honestly, Charlie, it's quite an honor to have you here today. You've had such an inspirational journey, like both professionally and personally. So I really can't wait to learn more about it. And I know a lot of people have been wanting to hear your story more too.
Oh, thank you. It means a lot. It's been a crazy ride, that's for sure.
It personally definitely has. Like, ironically, yeah. I started watching Eve very shortly before you made your speech. I started watching at Super She-Down 2019. Oh, wow. And then a couple months later was when you made your announcement that you were retiring. So it's been quite a journey going back and watching all of your stuff. But I mean, last year, you did have this shocking return to pro wrestling for the first time in over 2 years at Wrestle Queendom 4. So firstly, can you kind of describe the energy or emotion you felt stepping back into that squared circle for the first time in 2 years?
I don't know how to describe it in words, but very emotional. Like, it was very obviously like emotional for me. For many reasons, I didn't think that I would ever be standing behind the curtain hearing the roar of the crowd waiting for my music to hit. So, you know, I was so incredibly nervous because it was my first match back, right? But I was quite confident. I've been like training a lot leading up to it. And, you know, I was very conscious that I wanted to slip straight back into how Charlie Morgan used to be, you know, fearless wise. And ironically, you know, I, you know, sort of figured out that maybe I wasn't as invincible and fearless as I thought I was with the injury, but, you know, I wanted to prove to myself and, you know, and obviously, you know, come back and prove to myself that I could do this again, and that it, you know, wasn't what maybe I originally thought it was, like a career ending injury.
Definitely, so, too. I feel like, though, that mentality, though, of fearless, I mean, not everything in life is perfect, but it's when you're faced with those obstacles, how you face them. And I mean, you conquered that and you returned to the ring. But let's back up a bit here. Prior to your return, like you said, you formally retired from pro wrestling because of a serious foot injury and what we thought was a career-ending injury, but obviously you proved otherwise. But after you made that announcement, how was it adjusting to life without pro wrestling for you?
Difficult, to be honest. I mean, thankfully, my personal life was very good and a happy one. And, you know, Jetta has a lot to do with that. And I think without her, I think I don't know how well I would have coped. I didn't cope very well, to be honest, because for me, everything that I wanted to do from the age of like six, like that was gone in an instant, and I was like, I don't know what to do now. You know, I don't know what to focus on anymore. Luckily, I feel like I've always been somewhat sensible, and I've always had maintained a normal job, I suppose. So I did have that to sort of distract me and put effort into. The other big thing I found a big passion in is lifting weights. I'd done it obviously like before, you know, to keep fit, but I had a different purpose with the gym this time. Like, it was more up here than it was to, you know, keep fit physically. It was more like a mental sort of distraction and for my own well-being. I can't recommend it enough. I got myself into like a steady regular pattern, and I found that really helped. You know, maybe that was that release that I couldn't get in the ring, or escape that I wasn't seeking in the ring because I couldn't. I sort of felt like that was my physical sort of escape, elsewhere. So that was a massive thing to me as well. So a combination of a few good healthy things in my life made the dark days not so dark, I guess.
Definitely. I mean, when you're going full-fledged into something for years upon years, and then all of a sudden it abruptly stops, I mean, you're kind of left scrambling and trying to find something. And you definitely had a good support system with Jetta and probably friends. Yeah. And it's great that you found that escapism that also duels, I think, is keeping yourself fit and all that with working out and weights. And so for you, when did the journey to your comeback like actually begin? At what point?
So I suppose the reason I announced my retirement was because I was sat in pre-op and was like, can I wrestle like this again? Like, am I going to be able to do this? And literally the surgeon was like, you will be lucky if you can walk without limping. Like, don't think about that. Like, he was like, your days are pretty much done. So I just took it on the chin and was like, well, maybe I should just be lucky that I got two working legs, you know? So I just tried to forget about it for a while. And then I was going to physio and things like that to obviously, you know, strengthen my ankle and keep the movement sort of going and stuff. And I think it was about a year later. So maybe like, yeah, it was like just before March 2020. So that would have been like just before like the big boom of COVID, right? I was at physio and he was like, so you're all good to go. And I was like, oh, like good to go where? And he was like you're cleared. And I was like, oh, I don't need to come anymore. And he was like, no. He was like, if you want to go back to wrestling, like you're good. And I was just like, what? Like, I mean, I'd mentioned that I'd done wrestling, and he'd said, if you could, would you want to go back to it? And I was like, oh yeah, but I'm trying not to think like that, you know, because I don't want to get my hopes up. And yeah, when he sort of just come out of it like that, I was just like, oh wow. And it was like, phew. But at the same time, I don't know if it was the same day, but probably within the same week, you'd go home, flick on the news, and be like, the world's shutting down. Like, no. And there was much bigger problems in the world than my little old ankle. So I forgot about it for a while until the world started opening up, and then started training in the ring, like a local training facility, and just sort of went from there, really.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine like getting the news and then like a week or two later, they're like, yeah, psych, the world is kind of in shambles right now. So this is going to have to be put on hold again. But at least though, there at the back of your mind, there's probably always that hope though, that at some point you could actually return down the line. That's got to at least be some light at the end of the tunnel, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. So like, I had a long time to sit and think about what I wanted to do. I, as many others, was like furloughed at that point. You know, I wasn't working because the place where I worked wasn't even open. It shut down for a few months, and I was like, you know, had a lot of time to sit and think. And I sort of, you know, decided at that point, like, yes, I'm going to go back. I'm going to do this. But then, you know, say that was like April, May 2020, I didn't actually return until August 2021. So I had like well over a year of just sitting and waiting, knowing that I could get back to the ring. But I was very adamant that I didn't want to return in front of nobody. Like, I wanted people to feel the same emotion that I knew I would feel walking through the curtain. Like, I wanted people to feel that. So that's why I was very much like, you know, I had chats with Dan and Perrette and Reeve, obviously, and it was like, look, I do want to come back, but I want to wait. I want it to be special. And of course, you know, Eve is a special place for me. There was no doubt in my mind that it wasn't going to, that I wasn't going to, you know, not return for Eve. So, and then you had the worry of who was coming back, you know, so it was a scary time. It was.
It definitely was. And for you, I mean, you had not only the pandemic on top of that, but training. I mean, just sitting, you kind of have to get back into shape, I feel like, too, and everything. And maybe it's mentally or physically, but what for you was maybe the most challenging part of the whole process of coming back? Maybe it was the waiting. Maybe it was a combination of things.
I think the most challenging thing didn't hit me until I was back and actively like, oh, I'm a professional wrestler again. Like, I went from being a professional wrestler to a retired one to then being like a nursery, like kindergarten, like manager, and that was like my life. And then I was like, oh, I'm a professional wrestler by night again. Like, I had to wrap my head around that because my lifestyle had changed a bit in my work, like in my workload. So I was very aware of how much I was doing in like a week, you know, a normal job, gym, wrestling training, wrestling shows, trying to fit it all in, especially when you just had a pandemic where you was sit twiddling your thumbs for a little while. So yeah, I had a lot to think about, but I would say my biggest challenge was mentally, like when I was actively already returned, it was like, oh, can I do this again? Can I be as good as I was? Can I be better than I was? You know, can I physically move in the way that I used to? So those were lots of questions in my head when I first sort of came back, the first few months, that I was like, found probably the most challenging. Definitely.
Definitely too. And I mean, once you did return, did you kind of feel like you naturally found your groove, or do you think you still felt a little bit of that ring rust?
I don't know about ring rust. I think before stepping out through the curtain against Sky, you know, as the big reveal of the Gambler, there was certainly, you know, there were certainly thoughts in my mind that I was like, can I be the Charlie Morgan that everybody wants to see, you know, because I was performing at a certain level. And when you come back from such a big injury, it was a big sort of question. But I did feel like I did slip straight back into the Charlie Morgan, you know, being just as good as I was before. But at the same time, I don't want to be just as good as I was before. I want to be better than I was before. And I feel like over time, like, you know, comparison to August when I returned, even to now, or even to, you know, December, I feel like leaps and bounds in confidence. And I feel like, you know, every time it just is getting I don't want to say about easier, but yeah, more how Charlie Morgan would be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, more used to everything too. It's like repetition. More yourself and gaining that confidence back after being away for so long.
More fearlessness. Yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, throughout everything, you've always managed to say and be brave and be fearless. So despite everything you've been through, how do you maintain that inner strength or courage, you think?
I think maybe because I'm slightly mental. I don't know. I'm built differently, I think. I feel like I've always been like this. It's, you know, been sort of ingrained in me since I was a kid. Like, as a kid, I was a bit crazy, like daredevilish. Like, I like to live life on the edge. I give you like a funny story. Like, sure. I went to Poland with Vicky Jetta literally last week. We went for like a short break to like Poland, and we went on the like Schema bills, you know, in the mountains. So there's me like bombing it like up a mountain like 60, 70 miles an hour, like, you know, that, like, that fearlessness mm-hmm. is actually just me just amped up to, you know, 1,000 as Charlie Morgan. And then I look behind for like Jetta and she's like like literally going like 20 miles an hour, and I had to like kept pulling over in the snow, and I was like, "You okay?" And she was like, "Yeah, don't wait for me. Like, you go and have fun." And she would say, like, at the end, like, she was like, "I literally looked over, and you were just like." But that's just what I'm like, you know. I just live like to take risks, and you know, I like to live life like on the edge. I find that like a thrill, and I find it, you know, fun. Sometimes I take it too far and mistakes happen, but you know, you only live once, right?
Exactly. You live and you learn, and you only live once. I mean, be brave, be fearless, like you said. And kind of similarly too, I know, you know, Millie had a question as well, because she's a big fan of yours. And of course, basically, what keeps you motivated to keep going and evolving, not just through your comeback, but in everyday life, you think? What keeps you going?
In general, do you mean?
Yeah, in life, not only through your comeback, but in like everyday life as well.
So what keeps me going? I suppose the purpose of life and just living it to living life to the absolute fullest, and, you know, having as much fun and laughs with friends, family, Jetta, you know, just taking each day as it comes, really. And, you know, I try not to take life too seriously. Sometimes I have to, but, you know, I try not to, because I just, you know, I'm very sort of like free mind, you know what I mean? Like, I like to just try and enjoy it as best I can. And just, you know, for me, the main thing is being happy, and doing things in my life that make me happy. And obviously wrestling is one of them. And the fact that I get to do it with my better half, you know, is just like, so like, I'm so lucky to have the life that I have. Personally and professionally, like both. It's just, you know, I'm in a good place, which is good.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of your other half, that same night that you returned at WrestleQueendom 4, Jetta also became the EVE champion in the main event. So how was it seeing your other half achieve that gold for the first time in her career?
Oh, I mean, a long time coming, right? But well deserved. And I got on the mic at the end of the show, and I said, you know, like, please take this moment in, because you deserve it. And, you know, you paved the way, Jetta did pave the way for many, you know, young, inspiring female talent. Like, I think sometimes she doesn't give herself enough credit, because I don't feel like the UK indie scene for females would be exactly where it is now if the girls from the early 2000s, well, I say girls, there really was only a very select few, you know, didn't sort of make that big impact and that big jump. And, you know, there was a lot of times when Jetta would have wrestled like guys, because there was no female talent to wrestle. So, you know, I think she doesn't give herself enough credit. And, you know, winning the EVE title does mean something. Of course it does. And yeah, I think I'm more for her. Like, it was amazing, and I wanted her to take it in.
Of course. Because
sometimes there's so much going on and you just need to be in that moment. I think she was, though.
Definitely too. And I mean, now that's a championship that both of you have held now, so I feel like that's something even more special too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, going forward after that, I mean, not only have you two gotten to tag team together, but you've also faced against each other. So how has this working dynamic been for you, getting to work with and against Jetta?
Well, it's great to work against her if she's not done the dishes, or, you know, done, like, taken out the bins. Because, you know, and you just hold all that pent up anger and you wait for the weekend and you're like, right. No, I'm joking. It's fun. she always makes it fun when we're in the ring, whether it's against one another or teaming. We do eventually want to be a good tag team together. So yeah, something that like in the future that we're really looking forward to. I'm not sure if I prefer wrestling against or with her. I suppose it depends. It depends how much she's annoyed me, maybe, in a week.
Fair. If she hasn't done the dishes, then yeah, you're gonna want to go against her. But if she remembered, then maybe you can guys can tag team together.
Exactly. No, but it's always fun, you know, and it's nice to have that like support as well. Like I have good friends like in the wrestling business, like Alex Windsor is one of them, and she's completely killing it at the minute, and I couldn't be more proud of her. So at Wrestle Kingdom 4, you know, I sort of had this moment where I turned around and I was like, oh, my fiance, my best friend, literally like my best friend is like just here, and just felt like I'd waited so long, you know. So yeah, it's special.
Now, you mentioned a little story of you and Jetta earlier with your trip to Poland, but what is your favorite or most memorable activity that you've done with Jetta outside of wrestling?
Now I'm on the spot. There's so many.
That's a good thing.
Okay, so I'm going to go and get Vicky. Is that okay?
Yes.
Jetta? How are you? You just can't see me.
Hi. Yeah, hello again.
Oh my god. Hello, you okay?
I'm good.
Trying to remember Travis. So I've asked the question again, because I have so many memories on that. I can't think of one.
So what has been your favorite activity or adventure you two have done, like as a couple?
Pajamas. Am I on the actual podcast in my pajamas?
Yes.
Christmas pajamas as well.
I love that.
What was the question? Sorry.
What is your favorite or most memorable activity together you've done as a couple?
See, that's what I did. What about when we snuck off to Budapest?
What about when we snuck into Centre Park for the day?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, but I don't know if I have to explain it.
It's like a holiday thing with like log cabins and stuff. And they have like a spa there, but they have like a big pool there but you can only use the facilities if you're like staying there. So we went in for a spa day and we were like, oh, do you think anyone will notice if we just sneak into like the main pool? But you have to have like a special wristband. So we were like, well, we don't have a wristband, so we'll just kind of shove our stuff in the locker and hope that like no one steals our clothes. And we just like went in the pool all day, went down all the slides and everything.
Yeah, we like snuck into a little like park.
Yeah, it's like a big like water park thing.
It was fun. Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I feel like we sound really boring, but we do actually do quite a lot. Yeah.
No, I mean you've taken trips. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, when I had broken my ankle, shoved dirt on her now. She used to have to push me around in a wheelchair.
Oh yeah, I've got a wheelchair.
I need to tell this story because she'll tell it in a way that makes her sound good. So it was a really boiling hot day, and poor Jetta had to push me in a wheelchair up like this really big hill. So yeah, hats off, like she did push me.
The hill is literally like that. Like I'm not exactly. This was like one of the hottest days of the year. Yaz wanted to go. Charlie wanted to go to the park, and we lived at the bottom of this hill. So I had to hoof her up this hill. It is literally like that.
And so we got there, and then chilled in the park for a bit, and then I was like, right, like let's go back. So I hopped back into my wheelchair, and it was on grass. So like sometimes Jetta had to like really
molehills.
Yeah, really like, you know, ram him over these molehills, otherwise I'd get stuck. Well, she didn't quite push hard enough over this molehill.
I think I pushed too hard.
And I literally went tumbling out of the wheelchair.
I couldn't get her over this molehill, so I just shoved it really hard, and she just went like, I tipped her out of it like with her ankle in this cast, and I was just like, but you know when it's one of those where like
legs in the air
because it's funny, but you're also like, oh my god, are you okay?
Yeah, you shouldn't be left.
But it's the way she fell, because she tried to avoid hitting her ankle, so she did this kind of like weird roll,
like with my legs like all like
so I was just kind of like on the wheelchair like yeah, right.
But no, I think like our favourite thing to do is like we travel all over together.
Yeah, we do go on a lot of adventures. We do go to like even like, you know, in lockdown we went away a lot in the UK, didn't we?
Yeah.
We went to Wales and we did like some cool stuff in Wales, like
we went halfway up
Snowdon.
Like a mountain. We only got halfway up, so it's so hot.
Oh my god.
It's too hot, so we just went back down now. We asked somebody who was coming down, this guy that was like running down it. We were like, how far is it to the top? He was like about 40 minutes. And we were like,
nah,
should we just go?
No, I mean, fearless Charlie Morgan went all the way up, but
yeah,
but she didn't.
We went the hard route, so that's why we couldn't.
We did.
Yeah, we tried to, we got a bit cocky, didn't we?
Yeah, you're taking over my podcast.
Anyway,
now.
Bye, Emma Mugjohn.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Felicia. That's funny.
Yeah. So yeah, lots of memories. I just, you know, when you're on the spot, I think it's difficult to think of like, I know that I'm probably gonna like end the podcast and be like, oh, this would have been a really good story. But yeah.
No, those were some great stories. I love that. Oh my god, it's like feel bad imagining you just falling out of the wheelchair, like trying to keep your ankles. Oh my god. Molehill.
We also went to like a park and you could rent out like bicycles, so we rented out like a bike and obviously because I couldn't ride it, I had a cast on. We got one with like, I think it was for kids, but anyway, we got one with like a basket, like a big human basket, like in the front of it. So I like sat in this basket and Jetta was like pedaling around the park, and she's not great at hand-eye coordination, hence why I'm the one that does all the fearlessness stuff, even though she was literally only riding a bike. She lost her footing on the pedal and happened, I think she did it on purpose, but anyway, she happened to ride into a bush. I'd be like, I'm on the front of it, right? Front of this bike. It was a prickle bush. A normal bush. It was a prickle bush. So then she had to like drag me out. Like she was fine because she didn't go in that far to scratch her. She just got in as far to scratch me. I think really she had pent up anger of constantly maybe looking after me and cooking and doing all that stuff. That she was like, you know what? I'm gonna run over a molehill and into a prickle bush.
Maybe it's been plotting revenge since the start. That's funny.
Yeah, but no, honestly, we have really wonderful memories together. It's impossible to choose one,
and like I said, that's a good problem to have.
yeah true.
Want to cut promos like your favorite wrestling legends? SmackTalkShowdown.com is the only place to buy the party game where smack-talking your opponents isn't just encouraged, it's required. SmackTalk Showdown is 550 unique cards featuring crazy characters, vicious feuds, and gimmick matches that help set the stage for your epic verbal smackdown. Go to the extreme with the Lewd Attitude expansion and go head-to-head with promos you might want to keep between close friends. Go to smacktalkshowdown.com right now and use promo code GAL, that's GAL, to get $5 off of your purchase. Again, that's promo code GAL, GAL, for $5 off your order, only at smacktalkshowdown.com. And of course, speaking of Pro Wrestling Eve, we have to talk about this amazing show coming up entitled Women Behaving Badly. And of course, we also have Brawl at the Brewery coming up on March 4th and March 5th in London, featuring some She-Won qualifiers. So before we talk about your match on March 4th, how are you feeling about the return of the She-Won series to Pro Wrestling Eve?
She-Won is the
grueling.
Most exciting, grueling, hard-hitting, mentally, physically draining, happiest, buzzing, like craziest weekend. I absolutely love She-Won, but it is hard going. But you know, this is what we love to do. We wouldn't have it any other way. I'm so excited for the Return of She Run. Obviously, first ever A to V, first ever She Run. So, you know, I feel like I have a lot going for me, especially in a qualifier. Let's hope that this qualifier doesn't end up how the first one did, because I broke my collarbone on my on the 2017 She Run qualifier. But no, I don't think it will. I'm wrestling Haiyan, which I'm super excited for. Someone that I've never wrestled before. Seen a lot of her work. She's very talented. So I'm super excited to step foot in the ring with her, definitely on March 4th. So
yeah,
should be good.
Yeah, I mean, the Renaissance woman, Haiyan, made her UK and EVE debut last year too.
Right.
So I guess, what are your thoughts heading into this She Won qualifying matchup against her? I mean, she's somebody you are not familiar with working with at all. So how do you approach a match like that?
I suppose, you know, that's where all my fearlessness comes into play. You know, I try my best to outsmart, you know, my opponent with the fearlessness within me. Not everybody has that. So I feel like, well, and alongside that, I feel like, you know, I have, you know, already being in a She Won tournament and already qualifying a number of times in previous years, I feel like I have, you know, good odds in coming out victorious, but time will tell.
Of course. And I heard you may have some insight into your opponents for the March 5th show entitled Brawl at the Brewery. So if you wanted to let the people know who your opponent is, because I have no idea. So this is the first time I'm hearing
so
it's
going to be a surprise for you. Yeah. Okay. So this match, like, I'm super excited for. Someone I've only ever wrestled once many, many years ago. So on March 5th, I get to wrestle finally Lizzie Evo, and I cannot wait.
She has done so much over the last year, like 4 or 5 championships to her name.
I know, right? Yeah.
She's been like killing it. Like, she made her NXT UK debut recently. She's held so many championships and she's really come into her own. Oh my gosh.
She's someone that, like, I've actually known for like a long time, but only really got to know like recently, since probably returning actually last August. And like, she's the sweetest girl. Like, she's like such a lovely girl, which, you know, makes it that little bit like more exciting to like want to wrestle the person, you know, if they're a nice person as well. But like, she deserves to be where she is right now. Like, she deserves to be all over the shop, and like, she deserves to be all over the place. She's killing it as well. She's done so well for herself, and she's, you know, been in the game a long, long time. So it's nice. It's nice to see people, you know, being successful.
Especially too, and I mean, she's been taking over the UK scene, but like Haiyan too, EVE is definitely bringing in a lot of international talent for this weekend as well, including like Marty Bell, Allison Kay, and Maxine Paler traveling over to join the show. So for you, I mean, you're getting to face Haiyan, but how else is it seeing some new and international talent joining the EVE card for this?
Oh, it's great. You know, it's been a long time coming. It's going to be like a really good mix of characters, which is, you know, what EVE is about. But yeah, I think it's needed as well, because I think the fans have been like really longing for international talent to come over, and finally, you know, it's going to happen. So yeah, I think all the girls, all the talent is really excited to see what new talent coming in can offer. So yeah, definitely. Especially,
there's going to be some surprises, because not the whole card has been announced at the time of recording this. So I'm super excited to see who else maybe makes their debut or returns. I'm so excited, but I'm sure something on the list for you is definitely, again, barring travel restrictions and all that, is probably returning to the US sometime, I would assume. So who, go ahead.
No, to go on. Yeah, I'm just agreeing. Yes.
Yes. So who are some talent from the States here that maybe you've been yearning to square off with?
But Hyam was actually one of them, to be honest. So that's like you know, a tick, if you will. So yeah, Hyam definitely. There's quite a few that like I want have been wanting to wrestle. They're actually all like already coming over here. Holly Dead, definitely somebody.
Oh my god! Really, yeah,
she's so good. Yeah, so good. Someone that I wrestled in like a rumble at Rise, but never had a one-on-one singles was Big Swole. Someone that would love to have a singles with. The list is endless, literally. Like, but yeah, those are a few people that I would really love to be able to have a singles with.
Definitely, too. There's a lot of amazing talent on both of these cards. But I mean, also on the March 4th card, we have Laura DiMatteo versus Ava White in a non-title match. Of course, your girl Jetta defending against Emerson Jane in an Iron Woman match. We also have Charlie Evans and Riho and much, much more. So besides yours, this upcoming weekend, is there any particular matchup you're looking forward to? I feel like I know the answer, and it's a good answer, but let's hear it anyway.
Well, obviously, you know, rooting for my girl Jetta to retain the championship, which, you know, I have faith that she will. And an Iron Woman match is, you know, not the easiest because it's, you know, it's 30 minutes. So it's, you know, that you're going to that time. Whereas in a singles match, you know, there's opportunity to get a quick pinfall and the 1-2-3 be done, but obviously not in this situation. But you know, I feel like Jet has been in the, this is where the advantage comes in for being in the game a long time. I feel like she knows a lot, knows maybe just a little bit more than Emerson Jane. So I feel like hopefully, fingers crossed. I love Emerson Jane and she's an absolutely like fantastic talent. Always somebody that I love getting in the ring with, but obviously I'm rooting for my girl.
Of course. I mean, good answer, Charlie. Good answer.
I think that had to be the right answer, really.
Exactly. But I mean, this whole weekend really with Eve, March 4th and March 5th is a celebration of International Women's Day coming up. So for you, can you tell me some women in your personal or professional life that inspire or empower you a lot?
Okay, so personal life has to be my mum. Like, I wouldn't be where I am today without my mum. She's like my rock. I would say she mainly had like a hand in bringing me up. I don't know how she did it, but she's so inspirational to me. She's just so, you know, giving and kind and like all the sort of foundations and values that I sort of feel like I have in life, I feel like she has similar. Not to knock my dad, I mean, my dad's awesome, but my mum is my rock, honestly. I don't know if I'd be where I am today without her, for sure. Professionally, God, that's a difficult one. There's so many. Like within wrestling or in general?
I would say in general.
Okay, so someone would be China, because she just, you know, back in the day, she broke down barriers way before her time, you know, like she's so inspirational. And it's sad how life ends up sometimes, but I think if you look back to everything that she achieved and what she accomplished at the time, like the era of achieving it, like it's just absolutely like mind-blowing. Whereas like nowadays, often, you know, there is that like a women, like sort of, you know, women empowerment.
Yeah,
but like back in that, in them days, like it wasn't as big as it is now. And I just think that's so inspiring to make one of the first, you know, sort of waves in such a tough, brawling business. So yeah, definitely.
Definitely too. And I mean, March is also Women's History Month as well. So what are some of your personal favorite moments or matches within the history of women's wrestling?
So it's got to be one of them. And I remember this very well because I was, must have been about 14, maybe? No, younger. Maybe like 10 or 11. Lita and Trish, main eventing Monday Night Raw, was like such a nostalgic moment for me, like when I think back to it, because I remember being a kid and being like, when I used to watch wrestling when I was younger, I was like 6, 7.
Yeah.
So that would have been like late 90s. So most female matches, well, they weren't matches, you know, they were bra and panties, like they weren't matches. So I struggled to find inspiration in women at the time. And then you started to get the likes of Lita come in and Trish come in and Victoria and Jazz and, you know, all these women just sort of coming in the late 90s, early 2000. And that for me, like as a kid wanting to wrestle, but not being able to, you know, find a direction in the women because they weren't given, they simply just was not given the time or the opportunity to then see these women come in and make these waves was just like, oh my God, like I could do this one day, you know? You know, it wasn't until I was sort of 12, 13 that I started to really think like, oh, wow, like maybe I can do this. And I always used to say when I was much younger, like 8, 9, there's some video footage of me as a kid, like watching it being like, I want to wrestle, but I don't want to wrestle like in my bra. Do you know what I mean? I want to wrestle like how the men do. And now the women wrestle in general, you know, how just as good as the men, and I feel like everything's equal now, that we're giving a very similar opportunity as to the men. So yeah,
it's evolved a lot. It's but and you've gotten to be a part of so many amazing moments and even just women's wrestling in general, and it's so cool and amazing and inspiring that you're back out here kicking some butt.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I'm literally having the time of my life. Some days it's a struggle to juggle everything that I have to do in my life and be an adult. You know, it's to do that adulting. It's a struggle sometimes to juggle it all. But yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way.
But I mean, you're back now, and to close things out, you have returned to professional wrestling and have gotten back into the swing of things over the last now coming up on like 6 months. Crazy how time flies. But what are some of your personal or professional goals you'd like to accomplish next?
Personally, like just in life, like just to maintain like good mental health and good physical health. You know, I feel like if you have good mental health and are physically, you know, able and fit and happy, like surely you're winning at life, right? Like what more could one person want than to be fit, healthy and well and be, you know, happy in life? Like I feel like if you're able to accomplish one of two things or, you know, a few of those things, then, you know, then life is, you know, pretty good. I feel like I'm in a really good place at the minute, but yeah, just to continue to keep striving to be better. Over time, like, you know, people grow and change and develop, and I hope that I continue to do that in a positive way. Like I, you know, the me 8 years ago has grown so much for the better because life changes you. And you know, I feel like as life goes on, growth and development will continue, you know. But professionally in wrestling, to be absolutely everywhere, to be better than the Charlie Morgan of 2019, which I know is a massive possibility. It's not if, but when. I feel like I'm already on the right tracks to being way better than Charlie Morgan of 2019 for sure. Obviously, like, to get back over to the States would be an absolute, like, you know, it would be absolutely amazing. It's a goal, definitely. There's a whole bunch of people that are sort of returning and coming back and you know, wrestlers from all over that, you know, I want to face. Tag teaming with Jetta is a big, you know, it's high up there on my list. So yeah, and just to continue to be happy doing this, you know. So yeah, that's really important.
Of course, happiness is so, if you're not happy with what you're doing, then I don't know what you're doing. You know?
You shouldn't be doing it. Yeah.
No, exactly. Yeah. But Charlie, before I let you go, can you please tell the listeners where they can find you on all your social medias?
Yes. Yeah, so Instagram, charliemorgan.arrived, and Twitter. I had to make a new Twitter, which is very frustrating, but it is at charliemorganuk. So that's the new Twitter in case people are wondering where I've gone. I just had to make a new one. Those are my main socials. I have a Big Cartel as well, bigcartel.com/charliemorgan. New merch is coming out very soon, so be sure to look. Yeah,
excited to see that. And of course, don't forget to check out Pro Wrestling Eve's upcoming shows on March 4th and March 5th in celebration of International Women's Day, where Charlie Morgan takes on Hyon in the She-1 qualifier and Lizzie Evo. We got some exciting matchups for this card. And Charlie, thank you so much again for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, no, thank you so much for having me. If you're listening, be sure to check out those shows. They're going to be awesome. Even if it's not what you expect it is, honestly, I can guarantee you it will bring excitement into your life. So definitely be sure to check them out.
Of course. And again, that's Women Behaving Badly on March 4th and Brawl at the Brewery on March 5th at Pro Wrestling Eve in London. Charlie, thank you so much again.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.